Welcome to Renew Devotionals. I'm Grace Sweet, the author of this devotional series, Cover to Cover. In this series, we're exploring the unified story of Scripture as we work our way through every book of the Bible. This is part four, where we're covering the Old Testament prophetic books. The messages of these books were delivered throughout Israel's history, the story of which is told in the books Genesis through Esther. In the prophetic books, we see God's prophets confront Israel in their sin, but also provide hope in a promised Messiah. Through these books, we are convicted of our own sin and moved to look to God alone for life, love, and security. In this time with God and His Word today, we'll be studying the book of Isaiah. Before beginning, take a few moments to center your heart. Ask God to give you faith, wisdom, and humility as you hear and respond to His Word. Our scripture today comes from Isaiah 66, verses 13 through 14.
As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted in Jerusalem. Then you will see this, and your heart will be glad, and your bones will flourish like the new grass, and the hand of the Lord will be made known to his servants, but he will be indignant toward his enemies.
David Wallace was a postmodern novelist who never overtly claimed to adhere to a certain faith. There's a quote from one of his books that I think is a very interesting observation. He says this, "In the day-to-day trenches of adult life, there's actually no such thing as atheism. There's no such thing as not worshiping. Everybody worships. The only choice we get is what to worship." Have you ever thought about worship this way? That we are actually worshiping the things we chase after in life that we believe will bring us happiness. Just as we worship things like success or beauty or popularity. In the book of Isaiah, we find the Israelites engaged in the worship of idols. At this point, the nation has a long history of rebellion against God, of neglecting to love and worship Him alone. The prophet Isaiah enters the scene with a message from God and calls the Israelites out for their sin. Isaiah says that Israel's persistent unfaithfulness will lead to judgment and exile from their land. But Isaiah also brings a message of hope as he seeks to inspire repentance and obedience. He assures Israel that God will not abandon his promises to them. God will come through and bring a king out of Israel who will lead them in obedience. Isaiah says that their capital, Jerusalem, will fall, but eventually this promised king will restore the land, and God's blessing will flow out to all the nations. Isaiah calls this king the suffering servant, prophesying that he will be rejected and killed by his own people, only to rise from the dead. His death, Isaiah says, will cover humanity's sin. So for centuries, the Israelites wait and long for this king to save them. And then finally, this king shows up as a humble carpenter from Nazareth. Jesus is the one who ultimately fulfills Isaiah's prophesied role of suffering servant. We know that Jesus' death absorbed the punishment of our sin, and his resurrection made a way for all the nations of the world to experience salvation and blessing. But Isaiah's prophecy also looked ahead to the fulfillment of the age of restoration that Jesus' resurrection began. Isaiah spoke of the day, which is still to come, when God will implement justice and establish his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. In essence, restoring all things. According to Isaiah, God's children will live in this eternal kingdom, experiencing complete peace, comfort, and joy. God says, "As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you." God says he will bring healing to all the suffering and brokenness caused by sin. I love the way this healing is described. Isaiah says, "Your bones will flourish like the new grass." This restoration is coming, but it's so easy to lose sight of this reality. to lose sight of what Jesus has done and is doing in us and our world. We're like the Israelites. We slip into indifference towards God and neglect to give him our whole heart. We get distracted by what's immediately in front of us and start worshiping idols. But the reality is, our false gods don't actually care about us or have the power to save us. In fact, they lead us down a dark path. David Wallace said it this way: the compelling reason for maybe choosing some sort of god or spiritual type thing is that pretty much anything else you worship will eat you alive. God doesn't want his people to worship him alone because he is insecure and needs the affirmation. He wants his people to worship him alone because he loves them. He knows that the worship of false gods will destroy them. Listen to God pleading with Israel in Isaiah 45. He says, "There is no other God before me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is no other." Think about your own life and the things you're inclined to worship besides God. Maybe it's money. When we're always looking to buy the bigger house or the nicer clothes. When we want just a little more padding in our bank accounts. When we worship money in this way, it never feels like we have enough. The more we sacrifice for money, the more it leaves us feeling hopeless as we come to realize it's a never-ending chase. But let's take the worship of beauty. Hopping on every trend, always trying to refine our bodies. I've noticed that when I'm obsessing over my appearance, I never really feel good enough. I feel trapped in self-consciousness and like there's always something else I need to be beautiful. What about the position of power and influence? Worshiping a leadership role or followers and likes on our social media accounts. Once again, these things never end up satisfying us and actually leave us feeling emptier the more we chase after them. Money, beauty, influence, these are false gods. They don't love us. They don't want the best for us. They don't deserve our worship. But God does. Isaiah's message, fulfilled in Christ, urges us to see God's love and restorative power and so respond with our faithfulness. When you're feeling pulled to worship something else, turn your eyes to Jesus and remind your heart of the worthiness of God. King of the world, Jesus made himself a servant, suffering and dying on our behalf. He rose from the dead, bringing salvation and blessing to the world. He renews those who trust in him, giving them new hearts filled with life and purpose. He restores communities, binding believers together in relationships of love and care. And he is bringing all this restorative work to completion for a perfect, eternal existence. In his book, How to Grow, Pastor Dane Ortlund said it this way: in the same way playing matchbox cars on the front lawn loses its attractiveness when we're invited to spend the afternoon at a NASCAR race, sin loses its appeal as we allow ourselves to be re-enchanted time and time again with the unsurpassable beauty of Jesus. Would you take a moment now to go to God and acknowledge the ways in which you've turned from him and worshiped false gods? Now, if you would echo these words with me in your heart, as you fix your gaze on the beauty of Jesus. Lord, give us eyes to see your worthiness of our worship. Give us a deeper grasp of your love for us. Give us a fresh vision to see the restorative work you're doing in and around us. While false gods unravel our lives, God rebuilds us and brings abundant life. Knowing him brings us the satisfaction we crave, more than money ever could. Experiencing God's love meets our desire to be enough, more than the achievement of any beauty standard ever could. Accepting Christ's victory over sin and death as our own fulfills more than any achievement of status or influence ever could. And experiencing the joy and peace of a relationship with Jesus delights our souls more than anything else this world could offer. So as you listen to the song coming up, use it as an opportunity to worship the Lord for being the one true God that truly loves and restores us.
Come, sing of what He's done. There is hope for everyone. Sing of what He's done.